Most of our readings today are about the theme of the call of the Lord, and the Latin word for to call is vocare. So that's where we get the word vocation from, and we are all called by name personally by the Lord, as you were given a name at your birth, and then at your baptism, the priest asked your parents, what name do you give your child? So they gave first and middle names, and for all eternity, you will be named after that. Well, as Christmas came around, I pulled out some CDs of Christmas music and by chance pulled out one of a great aunt of mine named Sister Louise Voorhees, who was a daughter of charity. And this was a cassette that she had taped decades and decades ago and transferred to a CD. And it was about her return to Lafayette after 46 years of being away. She had lived in St. Louis as a sister and then in California. I was able to see her there as a seminarian. And my brother said about her that she was Mother Teresa before there ever was a Mother Teresa because of her great love for the poor and the needy and handicapped children, the sick. And she recounted coming back to Lafayette and just how it had so changed after that many years, and how she had taken a trip to Grand Coteau to see the grave of her older brother, Edward, that everybody called Ned. And Ned had joined the Jesuits as a young man, and he was a seminarian for them, a scholastic, a novice scholastic, they said. And he caught tuberculosis, however, when he was in his lower 20 years of age, and was dying. And so way back then, his sister and all of his brothers and sisters, all nine of them, gathered around his deathbed, and he pointed to each and every one of them, and he stopped on Louise, who was first known as Aline, was her baptismal name. And she felt like he was transferring his vocation to her. So she eventually felt like maybe God was calling her to be a sister, and so she went to tell Monsignor Turlings in Lafayette about it, and two times she knocked on the door and ran away because she was afraid. And finally she got the courage on the third time, and she said, you know, I'd like to be a nun, but I don't think I could work in a hospital. I'm scared of blood. And he said, then you'll never be a daughter of charity. And that's what she did. She became a daughter of charity. And she worked in hospitals, and she worked with handicapped children, and for 69 years, she served very faithfully. And every time I go to Grand Coteau for retreat, I go to that little Jesuit graveyard, the old one, and there pray at Ned's grave. And one time doing that, there was a man nearby cleaning a nearby grave of a family member, and he wanted to talk, so we introduced ourselves, and when I said I was a Voorhees, he said, do you know Ben Voorhees? And I said, well, Ben Voorhees Sr. is my grandfather, Ben Voorhees Jr. was my dad. And so he went over to his truck, and out of the glove compartment, this is about 5 years ago, 2018, let's say, he pulled out an obituary of my grandfather from 1970, which he's kept in his truck ever since then. And he said, I used to work for your grandfather. And he loved him so much that he kept that obituary there. And as I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I hear you're talking to me right now, because I'm right there at Ned's grave, Sister Louise's brother's grave, and here talking about his brother, my grandfather, Ben Voorhees Sr. So sometimes we have those experiences of the power of God. So our basic vocation is our baptismal vocation, our call to be sons and daughters of God, to be saints. That is our basic foundation vocation to holiness. On that, we have confirmation. And then after that, we might have matrimony or holy orders, religious life or single in the world, whatever mission that the Lord has for us. He is calling each and every one of us by name to do something for him. And so it is an incredible blessing in my own life. I was planning on being a lawyer, and as my father and generations in the family, when in my senior year, I started thinking about Maybe priesthood was for me too, as my brother was already in the seminary. Before that, my brother and Greg Carmier, both of them now priests, they were seminarians at the time. They went and threw holy water in my room because they were sure I was going to hell in a handbasket. And my brother was more the straight-laced one compared to me. And he likes to introduce me as my younger brother, the prodigal son. So I always say, be careful who you identify older brother with, because we know how the younger son ends up in the story. We're not too sure about the older brother. It's kind of a precarious situation. And I went to see Monsignor Doug Corville, who was our chaplain slash teacher at Cathedral Carmel at the time. And I told him, Monsignor, my older brother's in the seminary. If he becomes a priest and I'm the only other boy in the family, if I become a priest, then there won't be any more Voorheeses in my dad's line. And he said, we don't need Voorheeses, we need priests. So I guess I took that to heart and went on a come and see retreat and decided to give it a chance. But I was still very doubtful. But I said, I'll just give it 6 months. And if I don't like it, I'll get out. But from the first day that I was there, I was very comfortable and always never felt like the Lord was calling me to leave the seminary for 9 years of training there and then ordination and now 33 years of priesthood. So it has been a great blessing. But you can apply all of this to your married vocation, whatever vocation you have in life, the whole discernment process of, you know, deciding. And so Samuel today gives us a few clues of hearing the call is usually a process. Sometimes it might be like St. Paul, rarely, where you get a big bolt of lightning and strikes you and you get the answer right away. But with Samuel, it was a process. He had 4 times he had to hear the call of the Lord before he realized it was God calling him and not the other priest there, Eli. So it's a process, and we have to pray and we have to think and we have to talk with other people about it, discern. That deep prayer life is most necessary for that. It is truly a journey. So hearing the call, and then once all of that discernment process has taken place, then we have to make an act of our will. We have to decide, are we going to follow this call of the Lord or not? And like Samuel, we want to say, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. And in the gospel today, we see the final step of putting it into action. As John the Baptist pointed out Jesus to Andrew and the other disciple and said to follow him, the Lamb of God. And the first thing Jesus says in the Gospel of John is, what are you looking for? So he says that to each and every one of us as well. And we all want fulfillment. We all want happiness and joy in life. And we want the true contentment. And so the Lord says that to each and every one of you. And they asked him, where do you stay, Lord? And he says, come and see. So we all want to come and see and be with the Lord and discern that call with him. And then Andrew goes and gets his brother Simon and calls him. He's a good evangelizer. And Simon comes to the Lord. Jesus says, you are Cephas. You are Peter. You are rock. And on this rock, later on, he would say, I will build my church. And today we have Rocky number 266, Pope Francis. So the Lord has been faithful throughout the centuries to us in the church and leading us and guiding us and protecting us with our unity as a church. So that's the process. Hear the call, decide on if we're going to follow it or not, and then to go into action with it. St. John Henry Newman, who lived in the 19th century, was an Anglican priest and converted to Catholicism, became a Catholic priest, and was eventually made a cardinal in the church. And he had a lot of ups and downs in his life, and Anglicans distrusted him for converting. Even some of the Catholics were doubtful of whether he was a true Catholic or not. So he had a lot of challenges to overcome. But he said this about being called and having a mission. He said, I am created to do something or be something for which no one else is created. I have a place in God's counsel which no one else has. Whether I be rich or poor, despised or esteemed by man, God knows me and he calls me by name. I have my mission. I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. I'm a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for nothing. Therefore, I will trust him whatever, wherever I am. I can never be thrown away. Then he says, whether in sickness or perplexity or sorrow or whatever it is, nothing is in vain. God knows what he is about. So let's follow the call of the Lord in our personal lives and evangelize like Andrew and bring souls to Jesus and his church.